Good morning. Today, I would like to discuss with you an important aspect of the Word of God. I would like to ask you a question first. Can the Word of God hurt people? Can the Word of God offend people? I know most people believe that the Word of God, when it is preached or taught, will never hurt people. The concept that most of the believers do have is that God is love, God's Word will always speak about His love, and when it is preached or when it is presented, it has to be in love, and because it is always done in love, it will never hurt people, it will never offend people. That means they believe a church should not offend people. A leader or a teacher or a pastor or a preacher should never offend people by preaching certain things from the Bible. Or he or she should not offend or hurt anybody by any of the words they speak. Now let's look at the greatest leader and the greatest teacher of all time, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that Jesus offended some people with his teaching. And here I am not talking about the Pharisees, scribes, and the Sadducees who always argued with him, or they always sought for some reason to catch him and prove him to be wrong. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people who followed Jesus. These people followed Jesus for some time. They enjoyed his teachings. They enjoyed his blessings. They enjoyed the healings and the miracles that they saw either in their own lives or in the lives of their relatives or friends. But at some point in time, the Bible says they were offended or they were hurt by his teachings. In John chapter 6, verse 66, we read that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why did they stop following Jesus? It's because they were offended, because they were hurt by what Jesus said. They were offended by what Jesus said or what Jesus taught. That means the Word of God can offend people. That means the Word of God can and it does offend people. It can and it will hurt some people sometime. Do you know why people get hurt when they hear the Word of God preached or taught? Do you know why people get hurt when somebody speaks hard word or when somebody teaches something from the Bible that is thought-provoking? Do you know why people get hurt when somebody teaches the Bible accurately or when somebody teaches something that is different from what is commonly taught in church circles? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. The answer is there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Do you believe the Word of God is a sword? Do you believe it is a two-edged sword? If the Word of God is a two-edged sword, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and I believe it is, and because it is a two-edged sword, whenever that two-edged sword is used, it's going to hurt some people. It will cause some pain because that Word of God is going to expose people. It's going to do some surgery like a surgeon's scalpel. This Word of God is going to function. It's going to separate the real from the fake. It's going to separate the chaff from the wheat. It's going to tell you where you're wrong. It's going to tell you where you are missing God. It's going to tell you where you are being a hypocrite. It's going to tell you the different masks you're wearing. It's going to tell you where you need to change and where you need to be right with God. And sometimes that word is going to hurt people. People always love to be encouraged. They always love to be praised. They always love to be told that God loves them. They always love to be told that who they are in Christ. Now, these are all wonderful things and wonderful teachings. Now, we all need sufficient teachings on what God did for us. We need teachings on our Christian identity. We need sufficient teachings on grace, but that's not enough. We cannot build our Christian life just on teachings on grace and identity. We need more. We need to really know if we are walking in grace. We really need to know if we are walking in our Christian identity. And when that kind of word is taught or preached, it's going to offend some people. You feel good by thinking that you are doing right. You feel good by thinking or assuming that you are on the right track with God. But when you are told you are not, when you are shown a word of God or a scripture and it's explained to you that what you're doing and you come to a realization that what you're doing is not right, is not always received with a lot of humility. Most times people get hurt. They don't want to be told the truth. In the book of Revelation, John saw Jesus in all his glory. And when he saw Jesus in all his glory, he describes that there was a two-edged sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. That two-edged sword represented the words coming from Jesus the Lord. After that vision, Jesus spoke to John, and he gave messages to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And the first church listed in the book of Revelation is the church of Ephesus. Let us read the message that God gave to the church in Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, we read that, "I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. And when the church received this message from the Lord," or when the leader of the church received it, and when he read that out to the church, and when the congregation heard this message from the Lord, this message of praise and compliment, what do you think was their response? I'm sure they were all excited, they were all happy, they were all jumping up and down and praising and thanking the Lord for recognizing their hard work, for recognizing their patient endurance, for complimenting them for it. And it brought joy to them even just to see that the Lord has been seeing everything they have been doing and that the Lord is pleased with them. That certainly brought a lot of joy, I believe. And then Lord said, "I know you don't tolerate evil people." Again, another compliment, another star, another badge, another feather on their caps, so to speak. And what would have been the response of the church? I'm sure they were all happy and excited. And then the Lord said, "You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting." Wow. These are great words coming from the Lord himself about a church in Ephesus. And I'm sure this church was really blessed and really excited to hear such words from the Lord. And I'm sure there was great celebration in that church when this message was received. But the Lord continued to speak. And I'm sure for some time they thought, while this message was being read out, I'm sure they thought they were the supermodel church of that century or the supermodel church of that town or that city. But then the Lord continued to speak and he said in verse 4, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me and each other as you did first." Now that must have dampened their spirit. I'm sure all the celebration stopped at that particular sentence. When this message was read out by the messenger or the leader of that church, people might have just become quiet. They might have stopped dancing and shouting and praising, and that's just like the electricity, the power going off at a celebration. Just like somebody switching off or a music player, everything stopped. I believe they might have wondered why God was speaking to them in that way. Some of them might have even said, "Lord, don't put us all in the same wagon. Some of us really love you. Others may not be, but I do love you." Each person might have thought that way, or some of them might have thought that way, thinking about other believers whom they think don't love the Lord as they ought, but they thought they themselves really love the Lord. So they might have thought many things in their hearts, and of course, we wouldn't know what were the thoughts in their hearts, but obviously it was a hard word that the Lord spoke, and it might have really hit them bad. It pierced their heart, and it really separated the spirit from the soul. It really separated the bone from the marrow, and it really showed them where they are in certain aspects of Christian living. The question is, how do you respond to a charge like this? If the Lord today speak to you and say, "You don't love me the way you used to, and you don't love each other the way you used to," and if the Lord say this to you, how do you respond to this? And then the Lord said to the church, "You have fallen, turn back, and if you don't, I will remove the church from its place." In other words, the Lord was saying, currently you have a position among the churches of Asia Minor. This is going to change. Think about it. These words really offend. These words are painful. They hurt. And if you hear such a preaching or a teaching in the church today, what would be your reaction? Will you say, "I will not go to that church again. I will not listen to this teacher's teaching anymore. Or I will not watch his YouTube channel anymore." Do you know why people are offended? Do you know why people are offended by the Word of God? When was the last time you heard a teaching that offended you? Have you recently heard a teaching that really caused some pain in your heart? The Word of God is a two-edged sword. Have you sat through a teaching that made you examine your own life? A teaching that showed you some of the areas where you needed to change? The Word of God, because it's a two-edged sword, always has the capability to expose our weaknesses, and at times it does that. It can and it does separate the fake from the real. It can always expose our hypocrisy, and there are times when God will, through His Word, expose our hypocrisy. The Word of God functions like a surgeon's scalpel, so to speak, and only the Word of God can do that. And each of us needs such surgery in our lives at frequent intervals. and such offending or hurting word is needed as much as the other encouraging and comforting words. So Holy Spirit will inspire teachers to teach things that most people do not like to hear. I know a teaching on grace is wonderful. It is encouraging. I know a teaching on the Christian identity is wonderful. It is very encouraging. I love to teach and I love to hear more about the Christian identity. I love to teach grace and I love when somebody teaches on grace. I love to sit and hear the teaching on grace. But a teaching on grace or a teaching on Christian identity or a teaching on all the wonderful things God has done for us or all the wonderful promises in the Bible or things about what God will do for you in the future is wonderful, but that's not enough. We need to know if we are walking in grace. We need to know if we are walking in Christian identity. That means we need to have teachings that will cause us to pause and think and examine our own life to see if we are doing what we have been taught. You can always have good feelings by thinking that you're doing everything right. You can be totally in deception believing that you're walking in grace. You can be in a total deception believing that you're walking in love. You can be in a state where you think you really love God and you're not. When the Word of God is taught in a manner that questions your walk with God, that questions whether you're walking in love, in most cases offend people because nobody wants to be told that they are not walking in love. Nobody wants to be told they are not walking in grace. Everybody wants to believe that they are walking in grace or in love. We are offended not because the Word of God was wrong, not because the teacher was wrong. We are offended because our own condition has been exposed. When the Word of God does that fine surgery of separating the soul and spirit, when it exposes the motives of the heart, it really hurts. It causes some pain. Earlier we read in John 6 that many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They turned away from Jesus. They just left the Lord and Master. When he spoke some hard words to them, when he spoke words that exposed their hypocrisy. Now they came seeking the Lord, and the Lord said, "You are not seeking me because you understood what I am doing. You are seeking because you were given bread and you were satisfied with the bread that I gave to you." Then they tried to convince the Lord, no, that's not the reason we are here. And then they asked different questions. And when the Lord talked about, you know, how can we do the works of God? And then the Lord said, this is how you do the work of God. And they talked about manna that Moses gave. And the Lord said, no, Moses didn't give you the manna. The manna was given by my Father. At the end of a long teaching session, they were offended because their hypocrisy was exposed. And they decided not to follow the Lord anymore. And the word records in John chapter 6 verse 60 that towards the end, these people, this group that left the Lord said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" Pay attention to that. They said, "How can anyone accept this teaching?" They did not want to accept. They didn't want to receive. They did not want to admit that what was being spoken at that time was true. They wanted to believe that they were right and the Lord was wrong. His words hurt them. His words offended them. We should remember that the Lord was speaking the truth. His words exposed them. And because they were exposed, they were hurt. They responded by not following anymore. And that's what some people do today. You and I should not do that. Let us desire and pray that we have a humble heart. Let us pray. We will be honest and let the Word of God do that surgery in us. Because that's safe. That's good for us. And if you are not offended by the word, if you are not offended when such word is spoken or such a teaching is given, if you receive that word of God with humility, that same word of God will heal you. It will lead you further to Jesus the healer and it will bring you closer to him. You will not only receive the healing, yes, you will be hurt, you will be offended. It's going to be painful to realize that you are wrong in several areas. But if you accept that teaching, that word will bring you to Jesus. It will provoke you to turn back to Jesus or repent. And as you repent, you will not only rectify your own walk, it will bring correction in your life, but it will also bring healing and you will find yourself more close to the Lord. We need the whole counsel of God. Certain teachings make you feel good. It is good to have those teachings, but such teachings encourage. It gives hope, but we cannot live on just that feel good ones. Teachings on grace is important, as I said earlier, but we need the hurting ones too. The Word of God, the Word or the teachings that hurt us, that brings pain to us, actually helps us to do an assessment of our own lives. it will suddenly expose the duplicity and help us to be true disciples. It will help us to remove the different masks we wear. Some people wear one mask in the church, they have another one at home, and then the third one at their workplace or at their business place. And many believe, as I said at the beginning, that the Word of God should only edify and build us up. What many do not understand is that edification involves removing the unwanted, the harmful things from our lives. It involves cleansing. It involves some shaking. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. See, this Word of God not only teaches us doctrine, but it also corrects us or makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. And then it teaches us to do what is right. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, those who heard Peter preaching, his preaching really pricked the hearts of the people. They were cut through. And they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" Peter told them, "Change your mind, that is, repent and be baptized." Then the Bible says that 3,000 people turned to God on that day. But more than 3,000 people were there, and more than 3,000 people were cut to the heart. But only 3,000 people accepted the word. In Acts 7:54, when Stephen preached the gospel, the hearts of the listeners were pierced. But instead of turning to God, instead of accepting the word that was taught and turning to God, they stoned him. They were offended by what Stephen said, but instead of turning to God and accepting God's remedy, they stoned him. Let us not stone the teachers with our accusation. Do not leave the church because of a hard word that was preached. If you're hurt, examine your life. Allow Holy Spirit to help you. He will help you to turn to God in areas where you have turned your back to Him. He will heal and restore you. Next time when you hear a teaching that hurts you or that offends you or that brings some pain to you, pause and think, and do not stone the teachers with your accusation. Don't turn against the teachers. Don't turn against those churches. Take the time to think about what you heard and examine your own life. Do not leave the church because of a hard word that was preached. Allow Holy Spirit to help you in this area. Examine your own life, and if the word is true, if the word you heard is correct, and if you have to rectify certain things in your life, do that. Go to God, turn to Him. He will receive you with open arms, and He will not only heal you, but He will not only restore you, but He will bring you closer. You will have a closer, a better walk with the Lord. You will forsake the wrong ways, and you will be back on the right ways. Your life will be acceptable or approved by God. You will be walking in His righteousness again. So let's not be offended by the Word of God. Let us receive the Word of God whenever it is preached and taught, and let's do the remedial measures. Let us go to God, and let us be blessed. God bless you.